Jake Price swapped out his assault rifle's empty magazine for a full one, sucked in a quick breath, and leaned to fire around a low garden wall that served as his only cover. A tight burst, and then back again. His ammo was almost depleted. The Ixen soldiers were closing in, and they'd already taken out the rest of Jake's team. Of course, today wouldn't have gone half so poorly if his dropship pilot hadn't insisted on putting his team down in the middle of an open square bordered by Ixen snipers. Jake had lost half his people as they tried to sprint across the open space, zigzagging to give themselves a non-zero chance of survival. Right now, his chance of surviving seemed pretty close to zero. But he'd been in tighter spots than this. And he had to complete the mission. Gripping a grenade from his tactical vest, he lobbed it at the approaching soldiers as he scrambled the other way, staying low to the ground and praying he wasn't kicking up enough dust to give away his location. When he judged he'd put enough distance between himself and his original position, he flipped onto his back, ripping his pistol from its holster and waiting. There! The Ixa started coming around the wall, fleeing the impending explosion. Jake inhaled, lined up his shot, and fired as he exhaled. Boom! Headshot. Boom! Headshot. Jake was already up and running as the grenade went off, rumbling through the ground and sending a wave of heat against his back. His mission was to rescue a diplomat who'd been foolish enough to try negotiating with the Ixa. They'd taken him hostage, of course, and then the demands had started. The Commonwealth needed to send a strong message. They weren't interested in entertaining Ixen demands. And Jake was the messenger they'd chosen. Intel had the hostage in a basement two streets over, and an indicator blinked on Jake's HUD, with a dotted line outlining a suggested route. Screw that! Following the AI's suggestion meant staying predictable. Instead, Jake tried a door, and when it wouldn't open, he slapped a charge just above its doorknob, taking cover behind a nearby dumpster. The charge went off, and the door creaked open. Perfect. Now, if he could just... Jake! Someone shaking his shoulder. Jake, come on! We've arrived! Time to work! He opened his eyes to the gunmetal gray of the tiny cabin he shared with his father aboard their Comet Hopper. As it often did, reality brought a resigned sigh to his lips.
I was about to get a hostage back from the Ixa.
The Ixa aren't here. I'm here, though, and I'm telling you it's time to clock in.
They could come,
Jake muttered as he sat up, blinking rapidly to clear his grainy eyes. Not in time to get you out of work, Peter said with a grin. Then his smile fell away. You were jolting in your sleep again. I think you're spending too much time lucid, Jake. It's not worth sacrificing your sleep for.
It'll be worth it if the Ixa ever show up.
Sure, Peter said, nodding. Or the Gok, or Amblers, or maybe the Quattro will develop space flight to come out here and pester us. Until they do, though.
Yeah.
His father wasn't mentioning what the single orbital telescope in this system had discovered. The fact that almost all of the nearby star systems had exoplanets with atmospheres filled with oxygen, carbon dioxide, and methane, which made it pretty likely those planets harbored life. People living in the steel system barely ever mentioned that. It made them uncomfortable, so they avoided the topic. They especially didn't mention that the flux of one star in particular often dropped to below the 20% level, for periods that ranged between 5 and 80 days at a time. On the system net, Jake had seen speculation that the unusual fluctuations could signify a Dyson sphere under construction. Either way, Darkstream Security didn't dare explore the surrounding systems for fear that it would alert their occupants, who might be much more powerful, to humanity's presence in the neighborhood. At least, Darkstream wouldn't do that until they achieved a much better foothold here.